Abalone are culturally, economically, and biologically important in California for a variety of reasons. Culturally, they were the main source of protein for many of the Native American people who lived here along the coast. That cultural importance actually spanned many decades over into the time that European settlers and Asian settlers were coming to the West Coast, and they found that abalone tasted very, very good, and they also used it as a primary source of protein. But they also brought with them tools that allowed them to fish them to the point of near extinction. During the time of the fishery, it brought many millions of dollars into the state of California. But because fishing didn't proceed in a way that was cognizant of the species' life history and its long life span of 40 years, unfortunately, that resource was depleted. And that financial and economic importance to California was also lost when the fisheries started to decline. Yes, in the case of a couple of species, they are susceptible to a disease known as withering syndrome. And we don't know exactly how the pathogen that causes this disease arrived here in California, but we do know that many of our species, especially in Southern California, are susceptible, such as black abalone and white abalone, which are both federally endangered at this point in time. Biologically speaking, abalone are one of the top herbivores in the kelp forest. They keep they are a species that we consider to mediate the kelp forest because they sit at the top of at least the plant-eating food web alongside urchins. And so a resilient kelp forest is really dependent on the presence of abalone in the kelp forest. NOAA is doing a variety of things to restore its federally endangered abalone species in California. I'll start with white abalone. White abalone densities are too low in California in order to sustain viable populations. And so in our effort to develop a recovery plan for the species, we brought together a group of experts to discuss what needed to be done to recover them. In the case of white abalone, we have two major efforts. One is to bring abalone into captivity and spawn them in captivity to produce many, many more captive reared abalone. Alongside this effort, we're also trying to monitor the status of wild populations for two reasons. First, we want to know the status of this remnant and very rare and very low abundance population. But we also need to know where to put our outplanted abalone, our white abalone, when it's time to do so. And so we need to monitor habitat and learn more about the species in nature and what conditions are good for its survival. People should care about white abalone first and foremost because it was our hands that actually depleted their stocks in the wild. So we created a problem for abalone because they tasted so good. And now we, as humans, need to take responsibility for that action. In terms of its biological significance, though, we know that a well-functioning and healthy kelp forest is dependent on a top herbivore to control things in the kelp forest. And so we need it biologically to help the kelp forest remain viable and resilient. We do know that sea otters eat abalone. Yes, that's particularly true along the central coast of California, where sea otters are still quite abundant. What I learned from some of my sea otter friends is that sea otters have different modes of feeding. And feeding on large macroinvertebrates like abalone is one of several modes of feeding that sea otters employ. So yes, we know that they do eat abalone. And we know that at least for some, especially female sea otters, they will take the effort to unlock that abalone from the seafloor and get that huge caloric boost from an abalone because it might sustain them for many hours, as opposed to feeding on much smaller invertebrates, which only sustain sea otters for a very short period of time, and then they have to feed constantly throughout the day.